book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, while you're turning there, our theme for the year, come on, say it with me, fervent. Come on, say it again, fervent. We've been talking about being fervent in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And let me just take a minute as well to say thank you to Jim and Terry. You guys, would you guys stand over here? Jim and Terry, stand up a minute. Come on. These guys have been working hard, and everyone else who's been helping them with the community garden, which is to my, what is that, the west of me? Would that be west of me here? The community garden, if you don't know about that or you haven't seen that, it's a wonderful outreach to the community. Last year we had a man from the community tell us that he had lost his job and that he actually, the community garden carried his family through last year. It's open to the community and it's open to you to get items to give to your family and friends as well. They planted and we're probably, I don't know how long away from seeing things, but they'll keep us updated. But they've been working so hard and we appreciate their efforts and everyone who's worked with them. There's many people. And we thank you for that ministry and for your help. We're thankful to Jill and Cheryl and Judy who've been helping with the van ministry, picking people up. If you'd like to help in that area, if you'd like to help at the garden, see Jim and Terry, you'd like to help with the van ministry, maybe you'd like to ride or maybe go with the rider to help them and assist them with people getting in and out of the van. We're developing some of these areas and there's an opportunity for you to serve. We would appreciate it. And as Daryl mentioned, our annual picnic, get the tickets in advance. It's going to be a great day. And we're looking forward to our outdoor service. Just pray for a good day without rain that day. How about that? Amen. Acts chapter 2. And on Pentecost Sunday, back in the month of May, we began a series called Fresh. Say that with me. Fresh. And we had then the baseball Sunday, we had Father's Day, and we set aside the series for a couple weeks, but I want to pick back up with that theme because it goes with our overall theme of fervent. And the word is fresh. How many know I'm that guy in the supermarket that reaches all the way to the back to check the dates and get the best possible date? Why? Because I want something fresh. And I don't know about you, but there's been a stirring in my spirit, and that's what birthed this message back in May and on Pentecost Sunday, is that there's a stirring in my spirit for something fresh. And I hope that you don't want your life and your Christianity and your experience with God to become stale, to become soured, stagnant, and stuck. And sometimes in life that happens, and circumstances in life has a way of affecting us. And I don't know about you, but I really want something fresh. I want something real and relevant and revitalizing in my life. And so I want you to pray with me and believe with me and study and worship with us as we pursue God with a greater passion and we experience a fresh move and a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, we took you back to the original fresh experience of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're using this as the foundation of the series. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and there came a sound from heaven. Say heaven. Heaven. Again, I want to reemphasize, notice the source of the wind and the fire and the tongues and the experience of the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from hell. It didn't come from man and from earth. It didn't come from the Pentecostal Preachers Association. It came from heaven. The sound came from heaven, from God. And I'm the kind of person that if something is going to come from heaven, I want it. If God has something for me, I want that. And the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Say wind. Wind. And there was also appeared cloven tongues that simply means individual flames like the wick of a candle. It looked like an individual flame or a wick of a candle was resting on their head. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the words to speak. And we told you, notice the two symbols in this experience of Pentecost, the two symbols. And why did God use symbols? Because how many know we don't see the Holy Spirit? He's hard to understand. So God gave us symbols in the Bible of the Holy Spirit to help us understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he can work in our life even today. How many know the Holy Spirit is real and he wants to work in our life even today? What happened on the day of Pentecost was unique and a phenomenon, but it's also something that God wants us to experience in our life as well. And so these two symbols, wind and fire, are symbols of the Holy Spirit. And we began a couple of weeks back, the first message in our series was on fresh wind. And we gave you reasons why. We gave you reasons why we need to be filled with fresh winds. We showed you characteristics of wind that help us understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. And then we shared two messages on fresh fire. And we showed you the characteristics of fire and why we need fresh fire and how fire represents, gives us a symbol or a picture of who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. And by the way, those messages are available by CD, but they're also available on the website. You can get to the podcast. If I could figure it out with help, if I could figure out how to access them, you can do them. You can listen to them anytime and they're free and you can listen to them on the podcast. Get those messages on fresh wind and fresh fire as we looked at who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to continue in Acts chapter 2. How many know the story doesn't stop at verse 4? It goes on, and so I want to continue. Let's move to verse 5 and 6 and then also verses 12 to 15 for our focus this morning. There were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men, spiritual men, religious people, people that were sensitive to God and the things of God. These were not unbelievers, they were believers. And he says they were confounded because they heard them speak in their own languages. When the wind and the fire came, they were all filled and they spoke with other languages. And when these men from all the nations of the world heard these different languages, they were amazed and they were confused and they began to question. And the Bible says that as they were amazed, that some doubted, and then they ask this question, what does this mean? How many know that's still a question that some people are asking today? That's even a question we want to answer today because it's still a relevant question. What does this mean? What does this fresh wind? What does this fire? What is this tongues and languages? What is all this with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? And it says, while some doubted, there were those who were mocking. Now, can I say to you this morning, how many know things haven't changed much since the day of Pentecost? How many know back then there were doubters and mockers and believers? I mean, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you're in one of those three camps. You're either a doubter, a mocker, or a believer. That's what happened then. And notice, though, the question is relevant for whatever camp you're in. What does this mean? What does it mean? As believers, we need to know what it means to strengthen what we believe. As mockers, perhaps it might persuade us. As a doubter, perhaps it might answer some questions for us. Because how many know the sound came from heaven, and if God wants something fresh and real in our life, something that can revitalize our life, then we need to pursue it, and we need to desire it. And so this morning, notice what happens is, Peter stands up because it says, these that mocked said, they are filled with new or sweet or fresh wine. Peter gets up and he says, listen, these men are not drunk as you supposed. Now, please listen carefully to what Peter says. He's not saying they're not acting like they're drunk. He's saying, they're not drunk as you think they are. How many are following me? So this morning, I want to introduce the third symbol that we see at Pentecost, and that is fresh wine. Not only was there a mighty rushing wind, which helps us understand who the Holy Spirit is, not only was there the symbol of fire that helps us understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he works, but notice on the day of Pentecost, there was also fresh wine. Notice what happened. They asked the question, We don't understand these languages they're talking in. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand all this stuff. What does all this mean? And there were doubters and there were mockers. And they said, these guys have to be drunk with natural wine. And Peter gets up and says, listen, they may be acting like they're drunk, but it's not as you think with natural wine, but they're drunk with spiritual wine. And so God gives us insight into who the Holy Spirit is, gives us insight on how the Holy Spirit works, gives us insight in what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And he gives us insight by showing us that a symbol of the Holy Spirit is that of fresh wine. Say fresh wind. Say fresh fire. Say fresh wine. Now, let me tell you a story about a couple that was in bed one evening, and they heard a knock at the door. The husband rolls over and sees that it's 3:30 in the morning, and he says, I'm not getting out of bed, and he rolls back over. The knock gets a little louder at the door, and so the man drags himself out of bed, goes downstairs at 3:30 in the morning, and he opens the door. A man is standing there drunk, and he says to him, hi there, can you give me a push? The guy says, no, get lost. It's 3:30 in the morning, and he slams the door shut, and he goes upstairs. He's laying in bed, and his wife said, that wasn't very nice. I mean, remember when we broke down one time in the middle of the night, and we knocked on a door, and a man didn't slam the door in your face and say, get lost. So the man, feeling a little bit guilty, gets up. And he goes down, and he goes down to see what's going on. But before he does that, he says to his wife, he says, listen, do I really need to do this? And she says, yes, it would be the Christian thing to do. And he says, but he's drunk. He says, just go. And so finally he goes down, he drags himself downstairs, he gets dressed, he goes to the door, he opens the door, and he doesn't see anybody. So he says out loud, he says, are you out there? Do you still need a push? And he hears a voice in the distance saying, oh, yes, please. Still unable to see him, he begins to look around and he says, where are you? And the drunk replies to him, I'm over here on the swing. How many know things are not always what they appear? Come on now. Sometimes our perception of things is not that at all. What was his perception, the man that came down? He thought the guy needed help with his car. He didn't realize the guy was so drunk he just wanted to ride on the swing. See, things are not always as they suppose. And let me say this, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when it comes to wind and fire and wine, and you start talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you talk about speaking in languages, and you start talking about, how many know, it's not always what we suppose. It's not always our misconceptions or our ideas or our thinking of what it means. Oh, come on. And so that's why that question, what does this mean, is still relevant today. And that's the question I want to answer this morning. And I'm going to do over the next weeks as we talk about these symbols and talk about what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the skeptics and the critics on the day of Pentecost thought they were drunk with new wine. They thought they were drunk with natural wine because they were acting strangely in their opinion. And so they thought it was madness and craziness and humanness. And how many know there are people today who still think the Holy Spirit is madness and craziness and humanness? But Peter says, listen, oh no, it's not what you suppose. It's not what you think. This is not madness and craziness and humanness. They're not filled with natural wine. They're filled and they're intoxicated with spiritual wine, and it's different. And let me explain. And Peter goes on to explain. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, how do I say this? All of us have seen someone that has been intoxicated, whether it's on television or in person. And I'm hoping and praying that's you don't know that by own personal experience. We're not going to raise hands. There's no confessions. There's none of that. Maybe that was in your older days. Those are your pre-Jesus days. Okay? But how many know when a person is intoxicated, there are certain characteristics that are unique to that? Oh, come on. Come on. And there are at least five characteristics. Now, I'm not going to talk about all five of them this morning. We're actually going to break this down over weeks because I really want to take some time because we need to understand this. This is too important. And so this morning, I'm just going to talk about the first characteristic or the first contrast between what appears to be drunkenness with natural wine and what is intoxicated with this with spiritual wine. God uses this symbol for a reason, to give us a parallel to help us understand, okay? And so I want us to see that. So we're going to just deal with the first one this morning. So the first characteristic and the first contrast of intoxication with natural wine and with spiritual wine is this, and that is languages. How many understand when a person is intoxicated with natural wine, it affects their speech? Come on now. Oh, come on now. Some of you are looking at me like you've been there. Don't look at me anymore. I don't want to know. Listen, when people are intoxicated with natural wine, it affects their speech. Listen, they talk different. Oh, come on. So this is the parallel. This is the contrast that God is telling. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled? It means to be intoxicated with spiritual wine. In other words, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our life, it can and it should affect our speech. We ought to talk different. That's what that means. Oh, but all that mystical, weird, you're going to talk different. Come on. It should affect our spirit. A person, you will know a person is truly filled with the Holy Spirit. You will know a person's life has been affected by the Holy Spirit when they talk different. It ought to affect our speech. When they were, look, what did it say in Acts 2? We said it. You go back in the context of this chapter. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other languages as the Spirit gave them the utterance or the words to speak. In other words, they talked different when they were filled with new wine. They talked different. Say other languages. Now, how many know you mention other languages and you read this verse and immediately people get nervous and they think, oh boy, this is weird. All that tongue stuff and all. It says languages. And listen, there's nothing weird because we read in Acts 2:5, it says that the people that were there, there were religious or devout people from Jerusalem, they were all in the same city, and when they heard them speaking in these languages, they heard them speaking in every language of nations under the sun. And they were all heard them in different languages. Now, here's what's unique. They were speaking to God, and the Holy Spirit was making those languages relevant to their nation and their tongue. That's amazing to me. Let me tell you a true story. My grandfather came to this country from Italy many, many years ago. And when he came, he got off at Ellis Island, went through the New York port there, and came to America. He came by himself. He kept my grandmother, and my dad was the firstborn. He was born in Italy. And he wanted his family to come to America, and so he came alone. He didn't even speak, he spoke very broken English, he spoke mostly Italian. And so when he arrived in America, he had nowhere to go, nowhere to, and so what he did is he walked the streets, and one night when he was looking for a job and he was working, he leaned up against a building because he was tired and he just wanted to rest for a few moments. And as he leaned up against the building, he looked up, he saw a cross. It was a lighted cross on top of the thing. It said, Jesus saves. Now, he couldn't even read it because it was in English. And so he looked at the sign and he noticed the cross, and so he assumed it was a church. My grandfather told the story, and then our parents told us the story, that what happened was, is my grandfather went into this church, and he laid down in the back pew and went to sleep. He was tired. He didn't know anything about the people. And there was a little prayer meeting going up at the front at the altar. And people were just praying. And my grandfather just slipped in the back seat, and the way he told the story to my father, and my father told the story to me, was that he was just tired. He laid down. All of a sudden, while he was laying and sleeping, he was woken up by somebody praying. And as he listened, he heard the dialect from Italy of the language that he spoke. And that person spoke the language of his dialect in Italy. That person never studied that language, never knew that language. That person wasn't fluent in that language. Supernaturally, by the Holy Spirit, they spoke in that language. My grandfather heard that language, got up, walked up to that person, and he heard the gospel through his Italian dialect, and that person led my grandfather to the Lord, and he became a believer that night. And as a matter of fact, that church gave him a job cleaning the church building. He sent for my grandmother and my grandfather. They moved over from Italy, and they all grew up in that church apartment above the church, and they cleaned that church building for years. And out of that family came four brothers who all became pastors out of one man who heard a language that came, that was a prayer to God that the Holy Spirit spoke to him in his Italian dialect, just like on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now, I tell you that story because when we think of this, we think of weirdness and madness, and just like they did that day, there were people who mocked and doubted. But those who have experienced and those that understand, and what I want us to understand is these languages. I want us to understand, what do we mean by other languages? And so this morning, I want to give you a little different twist. And I hope that you'll understand this better. And I hope that you'll understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope you'll understand a little bit better what these other languages are that can affect and are relevant to our life today and can impact our life today. So this morning, I want to give you these other languages of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you these other languages of the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you how the Holy Spirit can help us change how we talk, how we speak. Because how many know how we speak matters? And how we talk matters. And so the first language that I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us and helps us with that will affect our speech is a prayer language to talk to God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our life, it will change our ability to talk to God differently and better. That's the first way the Holy Spirit, new wine, will cause us to affect our speech. We can talk to God better. I don't know about you, but how many of you would like to be able to pray better? Pray more efficiently. Pray more effectively. Go more directly to God. Feel like you're connecting with heaven instead of just praying and feeling like your prayer hits the ceiling. Well, that's what allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our life can help us do. Help us to pray better. Help us to talk to God, affect our speech and our language and our ability to talk to God. Let me show you scripture to prove that. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, he that speaks in an unknown language. Now the word unknown isn't mystical, it means unknown to the speaker. The person in the prayer meeting in the church in New York, where my grandfather heard, they didn't know that language. It was unknown to them, but it was known to the hearer. In Acts chapter 2, when they spoke in other languages and people heard their tongues and their language from other nations, how many know that those languages was not known to the speaker, it was known to the hearer. So when it says he that speaks in an unknown language means the person who's speaking that language is not speaking to man, but they're speaking to God. Again, on Acts 2, when they were in the upper room and they were praying and they were speaking in other languages, they weren't talking to the people out there. They were talking to God. The Holy Spirit then talked to the people out there. Do you see the difference? When you pray and you get in your prayer closet and you say, God, I want to pray better. I want to be able to really get a hold of heaven. I'm facing a situation that needs God's help, and I want to be able to pray better, and I want to be able to get a hold of God. You go in your prayer closet and say, Holy Spirit, affect my speech. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Help me to talk better to God. Help me to talk directly to God so that when I talk to God, God can send his Holy Spirit and talk to the other people that need to be talked to. How many know we get more done if God talks to people than we talk to them? Oh, please. How many have ever tried to reason with someone you just can't talk to them? Then you know what? Talk to God and let God talk to them. That's the first language. I pray with my understanding and I pray with the Spirit. See, prayer can be, I go in, I bow my head and I go into my prayer closet or I sit in my recliner. That's my prayer spot at home. I sit in my little recliner, close my eyes, and I spend some time with the Lord, and I talk to God. And a lot of time, most of my praying is with my understanding, with the language I understand. I talk out loud to God. Sometimes I just pray and listen and wait and sing to the Lord, whatever it is that I do. And then there are other times that when I really need to get a hold of God, and there are urgent times, and there are times when I'm burdened and feel a sense of urgency, where I will say, Holy Spirit, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to pray. So I'm going to ask you to pray and talk to God for me. Either with words or without words or in some way that can get a hold of God so that this situation can change out here. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to pray for someone or something? Or you needed to pray for someone or something, and you were at a loss at what the right words to say. Or how do I formulate this prayer? What do I even ask for? Mark, when your family went to the hospital with this, I mean, I've been as a pastor in many situations. I show up in all kinds of emergency situations. There's a lot of times I don't know exactly what to ask for. Come on, you don't know exactly what to, yeah, I say let's ask big, let's go for the big miracle, sure. But how many know there's other things you got to pray about? And sometimes we don't know exactly what to say, what to ask for. So when we don't, that's when we need to say, listen, I don't need to just pray with my understanding. I got to ask the Holy Spirit. I got to invite the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, fill my mind, fill my heart right now. You're in me. You're with me. Jesus promised you'd stand alongside me. I'm asking you to you pray to God for me so that it'll change what's happening here. That's the first language of the other languages that the Holy Spirit will give us if we'll allow him to fill us. Look at what Romans 8 says. This exactly says what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit helps us with our human weakness. We're limited. We don't always have the right vocabulary. We don't always have the right thoughts. We don't always know what to ask for. And when we don't know what we should pray for, the Holy Spirit will pray in us and for us with utterances that are unknown. My suggestion to you is instead of getting all nervous and wigged out about other tongues and feeling like it's something weird, I want you to be open to the fact that God wants to help you pray better. And you start by just asking the Holy Spirit to help you pray when you face a situation you don't know what to ask for. Look, if you know what to pray for, then just pray with your understanding. If you know exactly what you're asking for, you know exactly what you need to pray for, then just pray with your own language. That's okay. That's a powerful thing. Prayer is a powerful thing all by itself. But there are going to be those times when you just don't know what to say. You just don't know how to ask God. Maybe you're just overwhelmed. Maybe you're in shock. Maybe you just don't know what to do or what to say. That's when you need to invite and ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. And he will pray to God. Because remember, when you pray that way, you're not praying to man, you're praying to God. He'll pray to God, and then God will, come on, take care of the other things that take place. Come on, does that make any sense to anybody? Does that help us a little bit better instead of getting all nervous and weird? And thinking, my goodness, yes, there are going to be times when you're going to pray and you will say things out of your mouth, but there will also be times when you don't say anything and the Holy Spirit's praying for you. Let me give you an example. 1 Samuel 13. This is exactly one of those situations. Remember Hannah? She couldn't have a baby. She was barren for years. She was mocked and picked on by other women of her day because that was an important thing. If you didn't give birth, you were considered less than a woman at that time. And she felt that stigma and that hurt. And she would go to the temple every day and she would cry and pour out her heart to God. And Hannah was so overwrought with emotion and stuff that she went. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 1:30 that Hannah was praying with her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was, come on, drunk. Why? Because the way she acted was a parallel or a contrast to a person who was drunk. But she wasn't drunk. The Holy Spirit was praying and helping her. Listen, there have been times when I've been praying when I don't say a word, but I can sense my heart is praying to God because the Holy Spirit is there and helping me. You see, that's what it means. That's what it means. It means that you can pray better. You can talk to God better. You can talk to God in a more efficient and effective way if we will allow the Holy Spirit, if you'll invite him. Listen, you've got to invite him and allow him to pray with you and to pray for you. The second other language, I believe, that we can learn from this parallel is a love language to our family. Not only if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our life, not only will we talk to God better, we can and we should talk to our family better. Oh, come on. You want to know what it means to speak in other tongues? It does mean a prayer language to God. But it also means talk love and kind and nice things to your family. Oh, come on, somebody. We ought to talk different if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're really allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life, we ought to talk to our wife and our husband better, kinder, nicer. Come on, all the men and women should have said amen to that. Our relationship with our children, our relationship with our family members will be better if we will talk to them better. Oh, come on. Marriages will immediately get better if you just start talking better to each other. We'll start talking the language of God, the language of the Spirit, which is love, kindness, gentleness. A soft word turns away wrath and anger. You don't like the tone in your household, don't like the narrative that's going on in your relationships, start talking differently. Ask the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit in and say, Holy Spirit, fill me and help me to talk differently to my family. Help me to talk better with the language of love, the language of God. That's Holy Spirit talking. Not just, what does the Bible say? If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't love my brother or my sister, I could see, I'm nothing. It's empty noise. Come on, somebody. How many know? See, we want to talk about they spoke in other tongues and everybody wants to fight for, and I will fight for you and I'll preach with you and I'll believe with you for a prayer language, but I also believe it's a love language. that talks kindly and nicely and softly and prayerfully and patiently and long-sufferingly. All the fruit of the Spirit. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians 5? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved. Christ not only loved with words, he loved with actions, but how many know he also loved with his words? Wives, show respect to your own husband. How many words are powerful, ladies, as to whether you show respect the words we use? Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger with your words. Parenting, marriage will be changed for better if we will allow the Holy Spirit to touch how we speak, how we talk. I want to challenge myself and all of us. This week, try it. Talk different this week. Say, Holy Spirit, help me, instead of thinking, instead of just saying what first thing that comes to my head or the first thing out of my human spirit or out of my human mouth or out of my human mouth, Holy Spirit, ask, help me to think a moment and say a kind word, a joyful word, a soft word, a peaceful word. How many know that'll change that relationship? Smile at me. We'll talk different when we're intoxicated with spiritual wine. We'll talk better to God with a prayer language, to our family with a love language. Thirdly, a worship language to ourself. You realize worship, I'm not saying worship is selfish, but I'm saying worship builds up the self. How many know God doesn't need to be told he's great? Oh, come on. How many know God's not sitting, I'm really feeling down today. I hope people will tell me how good I am. How many know God's not struggling with his self-esteem that he needs people all over the world to worship him? Now, we worship him because he asks us to worship and he challenges us and commands us to worship. But how many know the end result of worship is we will be built up? That's why we worship. That's why, and I'm concerned that in churches now we don't even worship anymore. We just do a couple of songs, and sometimes they're not even Christian songs, and they're just to create an atmosphere for people to feel comfortable. Listen, the idea is not to come in here and just feel comfortable. The idea in here is to honor God, and so we can be edified and be built up and strengthened in our worship. And so there's a worship language. Other tongues means that other language means a prayer language to God, a love language to our family, and a worship language to God. Let me show you the scripture. Be not drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice this. What does it mean? It'll affect our speech. It'll affect how we talk. Speaking to yourself with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, I thought I was making those songs to God. Yes, you're sending them up to God, but the truth is you're really talking to yourself. When I say, God, you are great, it's not because God feels he's not great today and he needs his ego boosted. It's that when I say, God, you're great, it gets into my heart. Hey, wait, God's great. Wow, I've been dealing with this. Wait a minute, God's greater. Why? Because I've been exalting him. I start thinking differently. I start seeing God differently. I start feeling differently. I start believing differently. Because now I'm not just saying God's great to him. I'm saying God's great and I'm hearing it myself. And it's getting in my spirit and in my heart. Speaking to yourself. You see, when you sing a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, when you make melody and you worship God, listen, you're honoring God, but you're talking to yourself. Oh, come on. How many know, when's the last time you talked to yourself? Nicely. You know, when I was a kid, I'll be honest, I wanted to be the broadcaster for the New York Yankees. I took my wiffle ball and my wiffle ball bat, and I'd go in the backyard, throw the ball up, and I'd announce the whole game. There's the pitch, and he swings, and he hits, and there he goes, run. I'd go run, try to catch the ball, and I would talk to myself. Now, people would have looked and saw this kid in the backyard and thought, this guy is nuts, he's drunk. I got to be honest with you, every once in a while I talk to myself. How many know it's okay every once in a while to say, self, knock it off. Stop having a pity party for yourself. Stop thinking that nothing's ever going to change. Stop saying everything is bad, nothing's no good, and start saying God is good. Start singing a song. God is so good. Come on, sing it with me. God is so good. Come on, sing it. Lift your hand. God is so good. He's so good to me. Come on, sing it again. God is so good. Come on, close your eyes. Lift your hand a moment. God is so good. Everything else that's going on in my life is no good, but God is so good. He's so good to Come on, now, didn't you start feeling a little bit better? Didn't something inside of you start rising up and saying, wait a minute, maybe there is hope. Maybe everything isn't as bad as I think. Maybe there is a God who can help me. Come on now. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our life, we'll speak in a worship language that will edify ourselves, will build ourselves up, will strengthen our life. That's why we need to be worshipers, folks. That's why in your car, don't listen to all that, hate television and hate radio. What's it going to make you think? Hate? Oh, come on. I don't care which channel you listen to. I don't care which side you're on. It's all hate. And if you just keep filling your head with that, you know what? Fill your car with worship. Fill your home with worship. If you can, at your workplace, put worship music around. You know what? You get that. You start getting the words of those worship music and the worship song. You start, I'll tell you what, the climate will change. You know what? Fill your house. If you has there been a lot of junk going on in your house? There's been a lot of anger and animosity. And you know what? I would tell you what, jack up the stereo and play worship music, even when you're out. Let it just fill the atmosphere. Let it get all over that house. And when you get in there, you start talking and you start speaking and you start singing and you start worshiping. I'll tell you what, if you'll start singing and worshiping and making melody in your heart and you'll start getting a song in your heart and you'll start changing what the worship and the music and what you're filling your head with, I'll tell you what, it'll change the things around you. Worship to God. The hour has come, Jesus said, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. We'll worship Him with our own language, truth, words that we speak, and also we'll worship Him with the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you become a worshiper so we can talk differently, so we can talk better to ourselves. Instead of talking to yourself and say you're a dummy, you're no good. I used to know, God bless her, I used to know a wonderful woman in the church I went to in Pennsylvania. Sometimes I'd ride to Sunday school with her because my dad would go early to church and she would swing by and pick me up and some other kids. And she was a, God bless her, a wonderful lady and a wonderful Sunday school teacher, but she had a bad habit when she drove. She talked to herself. Vicky, don't make that turn. Watch, come up. You're coming up to the light. Vicky, be careful. Watch that light. Vicky, you're going to miss that turn. Vicky, watch a little wider. Vicky, watch. Oh, Vicky, you just hit that car. Listen, instead of talking to yourself about, well, you know what? That'll never change. And mumbling under your breath, well, that's a loser. And oh, that's, you know what? I'll tell you what, if we will change how we talk to ourselves, and stop beating yourself up. How many times have I said to my wife, even when she'll say something about herself, I'll say, listen, nobody talks bad about you, not even you. When we worship God and we allow the Holy Spirit to change our speech, our worship will change how we talk to ourselves. Number four, other tongues is a witnessing language to people. How many don't always feel comfortable and confident sharing your faith with somebody? You get in a supermarket, and I got to tell you, it happened with me, and I'm a pastor, and there are times when I get in situations, I meet people in the supermarket, I meet neighbors, I'm at the police department as a chaplain, I'm meeting with people, and you know, inevitably, God will put these opportunities in my path, where someone will say something like, well, you know, this is going on in my life, and I know in my heart, I want to say something really profound. I really want to have that, you know, eloquent word and that thing that just, and that they'll just fall on their knees and cry and say, Jesus, come into my life. I mean, that never happened to me. I've never had anybody in the supermarket I ever talked to fall on their knees, cry, and say, Jesus, come into my life. I'd love to have that happen. But usually what happens is on the airplane or in the supermarket or in the neighborhood, you meet people and you talk. And usually at some point, and I got to tell you, even when I go into hospitals, I'll go to the bed to visit the person and I'll see someone at the next bed and I'll introduce myself and say, what's your name and what's your situation? Would you like me to pray for you? A lot of times, the whole time I go in, I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, you got to give me the right words. Because I don't have profound words. I know if I'm not comfortable all the time and confident doing that, you can't be very comfortable and confident doing that. And so when you meet people and you know you want it, plant the seed. Come on, how many times have you thought, boy, I'd love to plant a good seed in this person's heart. I'd really love to say something good and encouraging. I'd really like to be able to pray for that person or do that. That's when you need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to witness to that. Help me to be a witness. Maybe just by my smile or just by my kindness or maybe by just saying, I'll pray for you. And how many know you let the Holy Spirit do the work? And you know what? Whether they fall down on their knees and cry and say, Jesus, come into my life for you, which probably won't happen, but what will happen is you will have opportunity to plant the seed. You ask the Holy Spirit to help. He will help us talk to other people as a witness better. That's what the Bible tells us. You shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses. Jerusalem, home base. Judea, Samaria. The uttermost parts of the world. You don't have to go on the mission field to another country to plant a seed in someone's heart for good and for God. You can do it in the supermarket. You can do it when you're walking the dog. You can do it in your workplace. How? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to change your speech, your talk, give you the words to say. I'm amazed at sometimes how when I ask God, and over time, as I've gotten more experienced in asking the Holy Spirit to help, I'm amazed at how many times I'll say something, and I'll go, I really don't know if I should have said that. But come to find out, it's what God wanted me and needed me to say. Now, sometimes I've just said the wrong thing because I'm just human. And that's okay. And you know what? God makes up for that because the Holy Spirit's bigger than even our humanness. But listen, God wants us to impact people. Some people, listen, you know how many people I've led to the Lord in hospitals and in places who've never come into this building, will never be part of this church, but they're going to be in heaven or listen, and I'm not saying I'd love to have them all come here. I'd love to be able to build a building big enough to house them all. But you know what? That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is planting the seed and reaching people for Jesus. And you know, God wants us to do that. He will help us do that. I know it's not a comfortable thing. I know you're not always confident. But the more you ask the Holy Spirit to do it, you begin to realize He will give you the words. He will create the opportunities. And sometimes you don't have to say anything, just listen and be there. And the Holy Spirit can use your presence and just being there to make a difference. I got to give you the last one because I got to finish. The fifth language is a faith language to talk to life. How many know we need to talk to God better with prayer? The Holy Spirit can help us with that. We need to talk better to our family with love language. The Holy Spirit can help us with that. We need to talk better to ourselves through worship, and the Holy Spirit can help us with that. We need to talk better to people in our witnessing and planting the seed for Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can help us. But how many know we also need to talk a faith language and better when it comes to the stuff of life? What do I mean by that? Well, how many know stuff happens in life? Problems, pressures, pains. And you know what the Bible tells us? Verily I say unto you, Jesus said, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe the things that they say, they shall have whatsoever they say. Let me ask you an important question this morning. When's the last time you talked to your mountain? Instead of standing at the bottom of the mountain or the bottom of the problem you're facing and saying, I'm dead. Too big. Nothing's going to change. When's the last time you looked at that mountain and said, mountain, get out of here. You have no authority in my life. You know, we can talk to our mountains. Now, we don't always feel like we've got the faith. We're like the guy in the Bible, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's where the Holy Spirit can help us. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to help us, you'd be surprised how bold you'll get. That when that problem comes, instead of getting so overwhelmed that you just give in and give up and you roll under the covers and say, I'm not getting out of bed today, instead of rolling under the covers and closing the blinds and saying, I'm too depressed and I'm going to stay in bed all day, that's when if you ask the Holy Spirit to help, you can get up and throw the covers off, roll the shade up, and look out the window and say, mountain, you got to get out of here. I'm going to live my life in Jesus' name. You know what? Why do we just always take it? Think about it. We get a left hook out of nowhere in life from this side and it knocks us down. We get a hook from this side. Life blows us a blow in the side. Life blows us a thing in the back. And we just, thank you, can I have another? Ah, woe is me. Look at how many hits I took. When are we going to get mad enough, or rather, when are we going to get full of the Holy Spirit enough to have the confidence and the courage to say, you know what, mountain, I've had enough of these blows, I've had enough of these problems, I've had enough of these pains, and it's time for you to be removed and be cast in the sea and send the devil back where he belongs. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll talk different. We'll speak better, even to life and to our problems. Now, I'm not suggesting you just go around and start, that tree, I want you to get out of my backyard. No, if it got messed up with the wind, you probably have to get the chainsaw out and take that tree down. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those issues in life that just come at us. Let's talk to that mountain today and say, be removed. Now listen, let me just tie this all up. These are the five languages. I gave you these, right? What's the bottom line? If we want to see some positive change in our life, I believe we could start with the way we talk. And the Holy Spirit can help us with that. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means, being intoxicated with spiritual mind means not some weird stuff. It means we'll pray better, we'll love better, we'll worship better, we'll witness better, and we'll be stronger in our faith. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of thing I want to be filled with. That's not weirdness. That's real life stuff. And so the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So let me ask you a question. What is our heart filled with today? What are we filled with? Is there just all kinds of negativity in our heart? Is there all kind of anger in our heart? Is there all kind of bitterness or fear or stress or discouragement? What's our heart filled with? You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, how many know there's not room for all that other stuff? And so today I'm asking you to just ask and invite the Holy Spirit to fill your life today and to flush out all that junk that gets in our heart. And I'll admit it, junk gets in my heart. I get depressed. I get discouraged. I get fearful. Stress affects me. Sometimes I get real negative and I don't think things are... And you know what? That's when I've got to say, Holy Spirit, you know what? I need you to flush this junk out. And I need you to fill me up with something fresh and something new. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh flush. That may not sound very good. Can we edit that? We have technology for that. Tell me we have technology for that. That's not what I meant to say. See? I got Holy Spirit, help me with my speech. But how many will admit we could use a little flushing out of some stuff? A fresh flush. You guys are never going to let me forget that, aren't you? All right. Why is that important that we flush out our heart? Because how many know what's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth? You can't fill your heart up with negativity and anger and depression and stress and fear and hate and bitterness or whatever it is, inferiority, loneliness, whatever it is you feel, whatever. If it's in there, how many know when it builds up, eventually it's got to come out. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the treasure of his evil heart will bring forth evil. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So if we're going to change our life by changing how we talk and how we speak, how many know it starts by changing what's in our heart? Holy Spirit, flush out whatever's in my heart today that's not of you. So that what comes out of my mouth. Listen, there are times when you don't mean to say the things we say. We don't even want to say it. But why does it come out? Is because we let it filled up and build up and fill up in our heart. And it's going to come out at times we didn't mean. How many times have we thought, I wished I wouldn't have said that. Oh, man, I wished I could take those words back. Starts with our heart. Holy Spirit, flush out my heart today. Because what's in our heart is what will come out of our mouth. How many know? Let's start today to talk better. Let's make a deal. I'm going to challenge myself, you challenge yourself. This week we're going to talk better. Is that a deal? I'm going to talk better to God, and I'm going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I'm going to talk better to my wife and my kids and my family. I'm going to talk better to myself. Be more of a worshiper. I'm going to talk better when I meet people in life and drop seeds and plant good things. And I'm going to talk better when it comes to those problems. I'm going to talk with more faith and not with fear and doubt. Let's talk better. Why? Because Proverbs tells us death and life are in the power of our tongue. We don't realize how powerful our words are. Death and life. You say, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's a matter of death and life. We can change our life. You can begin to change your life by changing. If we allow the Holy Spirit to change what's in our heart, it will change what comes out of our mouth. Then it will ultimately change our life. Stand with me. Come on, stand with me. Just give me a couple more minutes. Begging for time. Some things never change, do they? Come on, seriously, some of us are facing some important things today. Come on, just bow your head a moment. Before Daniel comes and closes, this is what we're going to do. Lift your hand toward heaven. Maybe you're facing something, you need to pray for something. Maybe there's a person in your life or there's a situation in your life that you want and need to pray for, but you just don't know what to say. I got to be honest, sometimes even Grace, when I get all those overwhelming requests from the prayer chain, sometimes I go, Lord, I don't know what to ask for. I don't even know this person. I don't even know what to say. But yet, you know what? Holy Spirit, matter of fact, Holy Spirit, I pray for every person that's on that prayer chain right now. And I thank you for my sister who is a faithful in guarding those requests and distributing those requests. And for all those that take, even if it's just a moment to pray, it does matter, Lord. And we've heard testimonies and we're already hearing that lives are. And so, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, we don't know how to pray. We don't even know who these people are, some of them. But you know what God needs to do on their behalf. So, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to talk to God for us, for those people. And then, Holy Spirit, you talk to them and you deal with those situations. Come on, if you have a prayer request for someone or someone in your life, and you don't, just lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, I pray for that person right now. I lift up their name and I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, talk to God for me for this person. Talk to God for me, Holy Spirit, for this situation. Holy Spirit, pray for me, pray in me, pray through me. Let your heart or your spirit touch God's spirit right now. I pray that all the heavens that seem like they're brass would open up right now. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to pave a direct line to the throne of God right now as we cry out in prayer for our loved ones and for the circumstances of life. Holy Spirit, help us pray better today, right now. As we lift up, come on, lift that person up to the Lord right now. Mention their name right now. Mention that need right now. Let the Holy Spirit do that. Then, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to help me and to help each of us to think before we talk when it comes to our wife, our husband, our family. Help us to not just talk out of human emotion and human talk, but help us to speak with the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of our life being love, joy, peace. So we will talk better to our family this week. Holy Spirit, help us to talk to ourselves better. To not send up a tune of negativity, but to send up tunes of worship that will change the climate in our life, in our heart. Holy Spirit, bring people into our path this week and then give us the words or just give us the presence and the kindness to plant a seed as a witness that someone might come to Jesus or someone might be encouraged. Holy Spirit, help us to speak to our mountains today. Come on, if you're facing a mountain today, maybe it's a financial mountain. Maybe it's a physical mountain. Maybe it's a spiritual mountain. Maybe it's an emotional mountain. Maybe you're just facing a serious challenge today and you feel like you're overmatched and overwhelmed. Then you know what? Right now, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to rise up inside of you. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the confidence and the strength that you need to speak to that mountain. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray and we speak to those mountains right now. Mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea. Problems and pains and pressures and discouragement and fear and stress and hatred and anger and loneliness and bitterness and fear, you must go in Jesus' name. Depression, you must go. Lack of finances, you must go right now. The fact that we can't find a job right now must go. And God, I'm asking you, we speak to that mountain and you open up those doors right now in the name of Jesus. We speak to those mountains to go. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that every knee would be bent, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.